Blog Talk Radio.
Let's talk about the border process real quick.
just jump right into this thing. What is the usual border process for you? Like, what are the steps that you go through to create borders?
Basically, I collect a bunch of, like, really tiny drawings, like, from throughout the year or since the last issue. And then we cut them up, and then we arrange them and kind of paint and draw more themes into them. But, I mean, it's, like, definitely, like, I don't know, it takes a while. And it's not exact science, really.
Yeah, like the process usually, I don't know, for myself, process usually takes about 3 weeks. You're pretty fast, though. You actually, when you sit down to it, I think, is that right? Like, you usually just jump right into that, right?
Yeah, once we get going, like, when we have a bunch of stuff, it's easy to put it together.
Yeah. Great. Speaking of, you know, the way that borders are and, of course, the way that the art's going to be in the future, bringing on Michaela R. Miho with Cleftjaw Press, that was a big decision for us, and we actually made that. Did we make that decision at Chama River here in Albuquerque? Is that right?
I think so.
Over beers, you know, that's when all the great decisions are made. I believe that's actually when the forefathers of this country made the idea to put together some bullshit thing called the Declaration of Independence. And hopefully this isn't bullshit, but Michaela, the way we got you on the program, we wanted you to talk about the future of Cleftjaw Art and what you envision as far as, like, and this is just a hypothetical situation, but if we were to accept in the future art submissions for the blog or for issues, what would you look for specifically?
I think that, like, as far as imagery goes, it needs to definitely reflect the aesthetic of the type of writing that we take, which is already a little bit difficult, you know, to sort of summarize in a little sentence. But definitely something unique and interesting, which sounds like bullshit, but something that has something to say. I would look for, you know, something that hits you on a guttural level as well as an intellectual level, something that has a story to tell and does that well, you know. When I think of, like, the kind of work that I'm interested in, that I'm interested in making, I think of something that has some sort of a dark humor. I think that's something we all kind of have in common, all of the editors. But definitely something, you know, poignant and interesting and intelligible. You know, you want something that has a certain skill and aesthetic that we're looking for, but it's all about the story. I think that there's a narrative behind everything that Cleftjaw is about, you know. It's not just word vomit and masturbation out there, you know what I'm saying? So that's something that I would look for, something that reaches in-depth but is still relatable, which I don't know if that makes sense to the world.
It does. No,
cool,
totally.
Cool.
Well, while we're talking about in-depth and stuff that really means something, and I'm glad I got both of you guys on the program. So I feel like we got, you know, two different sides of this. One of the things that I read about in, you know, magazines like Juxtapose or High Fructose, you read the interviews with these artists or you read interviews with editors. Sometimes the editors will emphasize the importance of sending in good photos of your artwork. In other words, if you have to, is that kind of like an emphasis of, it's almost like an emphasis of, like, you may need to make, you know, edits with this, software edits with this.
Yeah.
I know Lindsay has been looking into some art programs, but I was going to ask Michaela real quick, what is it, like, as far as being the art curator, do you look for specifically as far as, like, being doctored work, like saturation or contrast levels being messed with in, like, programs like Pixlr or Photoshop or what have you, versus, like, original imagery?
You know, being an artist myself, there's always, like, you always have to use some of that stuff when you're taking photos of your images. I'm kind of a purist at heart, so I'm forever working with, you know, ink and, you know, pencil, yada, yada, the usual Art 101 kind of stuff. But like you said, you know, when you're taking pictures of your images, you have to sort of tweak it, make it look. I guess the way that I go about it is I try to make my work look the most like it does in real life. because, you know, with a photo, you lose a little bit of the detail, and I think that's really important. So as far as, you know, being somebody who would be looking at other people's images and deciding whether or not they're going to be, you know, included in the magazine, I would definitely look for a sense of realism, in the sense that it looks as if it's an image that was, if it was a painting, I want it to look the way it looks when somebody looks at it first. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, totally. Totally does.
When it comes to, like, comics, which is more of my forte, I do look for higher contrast sort of stuff. But that's, again, you know, this and that. It just depends on what you're into. You know, if you have a lot of detail on something, I wouldn't want somebody to just do a block of black over that, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, on the flip side of the coin, if people were, like you're talking about, wanting to, you know, doctor photos, Lindsay, you've actually been doing a lot of research on different types of software to put together things like e-books. And, of course, you know, e-books involve, like, cover art, interior art design, of course, and everything like that. I mean, I know you've done a lot of research on programs, is that right? Like,
yeah, but it's more about, like, layouts and, like, I would like to be able to enhance our website and have, like, artist galleries where we have basically portfolios of our work as individual artists or however we want to do it. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we've talked with Tyler Finzer, who's like one of our tech guys, and he's actually the one that designed our website, so big ups to Tyler Finzer out there. We've talked with him a couple of times about adding new tabs to the website, and I believe like an artist profile page would be something that I would definitely be interested in. If you were curating that portion of the website, Lindsay, what would you look for? Would you look for mostly like detail, or would you look for something like a little bit more doctored, like you want photos a little bit crisper? And what about like something like photography? Is that an option for you as well?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it from the perspective of being like an online magazine, but I want to feel, so I don't care really if it looks like it originally did, if it works good in a layout in some regards,
yeah,
but
I don't want
to have like a bunch of canned work either.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I like, I guess in terms of content, I like things that have, or have a tendency to like things that have darker themes and bright colors, I guess.
And if any of our listeners out there were interested in learning more about doing their own layouts, I know there's a lot of listeners out there that have their own presses or, you know, involved in a press in one manner or another. What are some of the programs that they could look into to help them out with that kind of stuff?
Let's see. Right now I'm looking into figuring out how to use InDesign, Illustrator. I want to become a Photoshop Creative Suite expert and eventually learn how to do like animation and be able to produce like short videos and maybe even make like little movies or something.
Yeah, animation, definitely. Michaela, you got any experience in animation or anything like that?
I really don't, but I would definitely be down to learning about that. That's one of like my first passions, so that sounds really cool.
Hey, Michaela, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a fine arts degree or something like that?
Girl, I wish.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm definitely
a dropout.
I thought
you did, but were you an art student?
Yeah.
And, like, when you were in school, did you take much, like, computer stuff to, like, promote your art or do anything like that?
Well, I mean, no, just really, really basic stuff. I'm as basic as it gets. And when it comes to, like, any programs, it's, like, really,
yeah.
It's, like, the ghetto version, you know, like, not even Photoshop. I did a lot of stuff on Pixlr when it was, like, a thing, you know.
Right.
When it comes to, like, art, I'm a lot more fine art, all hand, and just, you know. So that's more my forte, which is kind of, it's kind of cool that, you know, coming into this experience with the magazine, that I'm working so closely with somebody who knows about the programs, you know, because it's like definitely both sides of the world of art, I guess. So
Well, I don't know about the programs yet. I'm, like, in the process of, I have, like, an award I can use towards higher education.
Oh, okay,
all
right.
A specific amount, and so I can use it to, like, purchase software and also take classes, so I'm trying to, like, narrow it down.
Oh,
and,
if anybody has any advice, let me know what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Right on. You guys heard that. Actually, Lindsay mentioned there's art grants out there if you guys are interested in learning more about any sort of, like, design software or getting into stuff like web design, which I know our friend Mr. Sam Johannes, big ups to you, Sam, is very, very astute. Has a very astute knowledge of that as well. You guys can definitely check into that.
You can also teach yourself online, Clary.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right. You could totally teach yourself online as well. That is totally easy. Google, period. That's all I got to say about it. I actually learned a lot today while we're on the topic about a new program that we're going to be using to put together issue number 9, Acrobat DC. I learned a lot today about PDF optimization and, like, how to – I actually learned how to reduce file size, which I know kind of sounds like really remedial, but I'm a slow learner at that kind of stuff. So. Big accomplishment for me. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. But it's a new program I wanted to try, and we're going to try some different stuff with cover designs. We do have some books coming out next year, so we're going to have some different things coming out, hopefully, and see where this goes. I'm going to try to pull back, though. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to try to pull back on the saturation and the contrast and the brightness this time around. I'm thinking, I'm going to pull back on it, I think. I don't know. We got about 13 minutes left of the program. Of course, I don't know if I did mention this, but the number to call in is 516-387-1501. I did see that there was another 505 on the line. It may have been Nate Maxson. Nate, if that was you, feel free to call back in, brother.
Yeah, man.
Fucking A. Ladies, since I have both of you on the program tonight, we do have a new aspect of Clefjaw called staff picks. Basically, staff picks are submissions that weren't accepted for issue number 9 but will be put into another pool of selections for editors to pick and post on the blog starting in January of 2016. I was wondering if either of you had a staff pick ready, handy? Either one of you guys have one?
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah,
I got you on the spot.
You're asking so much.
No, I mean, I had some picks, but nothing on hand, unfortunately. I totally came unprepared. So.
No, it's all
Sorry,
good
world.
Because it's all good. Cool. I've already got mine on deck. I was ready for this.
All right, sweet.
I wanted to go ahead and let everybody know, as I mentioned, this is a staff pick. You know, in the past, we've read submissions on here before, and you know that was before we actually closed the submission pool, and then of course we didn't tell the names or anything like that, but I will mention the name of one of my staff picks actually, who was in issue number 8, which the reason I mentioned that as well, issue number 8, the print edition, will be coming out in January of 2016. That's actually what I've been working on today with the Acrobat DC program, so I'm looking forward to bringing that out. And this one is actually by Valentina Cano. As I mentioned, she was in issue number 8 and will be in the print edition as well. The name of the poem is called Wendigo. It's a very short poem. She has become a Wendigo, tip-tapping a foot in and out of her future, dragging her thin can past behind, calling the blood and the moon with bare feet and a razor wire voice. That poem was really close for me, guys. I just be real with you. It was super close. But I felt like it was like the beginning of a really great poem. Like it could have gone on for like a few stanzas. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Definitely a teaser poem. You know, you definitely want more.
Right.
So.
She's very good at that, and I believe the one that she had published in number 8 was like super short, so she might just have like a real knack for like super short poems. There was another one in here that I wanted to read real quick, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on. This one's called The Essentials in a Park, so I'm kind of torn between taking the Wendigo poem or this one. So you guys tell me which one I should take on this one. This is your opinion.
Right.
It's kind of like a vote on the air, right? It's one of our staff. So this one is The Essentials in a Park. She walks fast to outrun herself. Her legs carved and chipped like the dining room chairs bare her forward through the breaching treasure of wrappers and shattered bottles, through sand that has lost its purpose, through the one cracked pothole screaming for rain. Which one, guys? Lindsay? Wendigo or Essentials in a Park? Which one?
I'd go with the first one, but I don't think the second one was bad. I mean, I think you should use them both.
All right, so that's one for the first poem, which was Wendigo. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I'm torn also, actually, because I think I preferred the second one because it did give you more, but likewise, it didn't really go where I wanted it to go. You know, where it didn't give me enough information.
Okay.
It was a lovely image, kind of a poem.
A good
not
start.
Quite, yeah,
it's
not
a good
quite
start.
Substance. You know, not enough substance. It's really difficult because it's like that sounds to me like two really great writers who are really great, but it could be even greater, which is always a beautiful thing, but a frustrating thing as an editor.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I'm noticing, if she actually wanted to do this, and I might even ask her if she would be willing to do this, is if we just combine these two, because if you read them together, they kind of go together. I don't know. Do you guys I'm going to try an experiment. I'm going to try an experiment on the air.
All right.
You guys tell me if this works. I'll just read them both together here.
Okay.
So she has become a Wendigo, tip-tapping a foot in and out of her future, dragging her tin can past behind, calling the blood and the moon with bare feet and a razor wire voice. She walks fast to outrun herself. Her legs carved and chipped like the dining room chairs bear her forward through the breaching treasure of wrappers and shattered bottles, through sand that has lost its purpose, through the one cracked pothole screaming for rain.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Did that work better, right?
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's
more balanced now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask her if I can't just like combine those, right?
Yeah. That was great. That felt like it should be there, you know?
I like
it was meant.
The way the tin can pass line.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, and then the way that it ended in the other poem.
Yeah.
All right. Man, I wish she had just combined those two, because I probably would have just taken them for issue 9. I might even just see if we can't just take that. I don't know. Valentino Cano, if you're listening, I'm going to be sending you a message. We're going to be talking about this. We're going to have to. It's too
definitely.
Good to let go, period. Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the help on that. That was a hard choice for me. Great.
Definitely.
We've got about 6 minutes. I'm probably going to call it because I got about a five-minute song for Christmas. It is Christmas time, and everybody here at Cleftraw, you know, we just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and the only way that we know how, and that's to be sardonic and as nihilistic as possible. And
all
I have
the way.
That. Yeah, exactly. I have that song on the line for us tonight, so we'll get to that. I did want to take the time to thank both Lindsay and Michaela. Thank you guys for coming on the program tonight and hanging out with me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Right on.
All right. Well, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
This
you
one is Cassio Tone for The Painfully Alone is the name of the artist or artists. I'm not sure how many people or person is in this band, but it is a great musician, artist, person, band, people, nonetheless. Name of the song is called Cold White Christmas. Once again, happy holidays from Cleftjaw Press, no matter if it's Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, or the anti-life equation itself. Congratulations. You survived another year.
Happy Festivus, right?
Happy Festivus. We'll see you guys in 2016, actually, I think. Yeah.
All right.
See you in 2016, guys.
Peace.
cap and gown in purple and gold. You're 22 years old and a woman, now you're told. Aunt Beth and Charlie cut a check for the graduating niece, and you marked your independence with a signature on a lease. At home is a photograph you taped to your wall. It's gonna be a cold white Christmas in St. Paul. Beer for breakfast, who's gonna scold? Got your early hours dull by the cigarettes you rolled. Second shift as a fry cook, that's your holiday in Greece. And you trudge to work through the snow in a coat down to your knees. You linger at the twinkle lights as you pass by the mall and count the days to a cold white Christmas in St. Paul. White Christmas in St. Paul's.